Blog Talk Radio.
Creation to test all of them.
and see which one is worthy of the great reward that he have kept away from us, being such good human beings. So, and we only bear witness that Prophet Muhammad, the one Christ Jesus said, will come and lead us in all truth. Christ Jesus, may God peace and blessings be upon him, announced that this one was coming to lead us into all truth, lead us into the best of knowledge of self and kind and in the human life that God wants us to have. So we thank Allah for blessing us with Prophet Muhammad Ibn Abdullah, who is the seal of the prophet. There's no more prophet to come. And we thank Allah for his most precious gift to humanity, to all of us, and that is book called Al-Quran. The precious kept all the information, all the understanding, all the warning, and all the problems that could happen in our human life in this book. Didn't miss not one subject of human life in this book. Everything has been already prophesied and been given to us to understand and as a warning to us on how to conduct our life. And if we fall down in our life, how to get back up and stay on top of the life that God has given us. So we thank Allah for this Black Talk radio station. We are here tonight to talk about the message of concern and other things that affect the human family and economics and wives and family, what God said we must have in order to be a family, a community. We must have family life, community life, and that all carries with it the human life. So we're going to get ready to open up. We have guests tonight. We have a brother from Tennessee, Imam from Tennessee, Hameen Abdullah, was the son of Yusuf Abdullah in Nashville, who his son is an imam. We have him tonight as a guest. May Allah bless us to have this young man come on and share with us his experience in this life and how we can operate this life much better. So first I would like to open up with a prayer call. Al-Fatiha. First, I would like to say it in the Arabic language. Then, after that, we'll give it in the English translation, the beauty of this prayer that Almighty God have given us. So first, we will say it in the Arabic language. Humalei Shaitan Rajim, Bismillah Rahman Rahim, Alhamdulillah Rabbilai Amin, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin, Iyyaka Na'budu wa Iyyaka Nasta'in, Ihdinas Siratal Mustaqim, Siratal Ladina Anta Alayhim, Ghayri Maghdubi Alayhim, Waladdallin. Ameen. We seek protection with Allah from Satan the rejected, Satan the rejected enemy, the outcast. With the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, Allah is the master of the day of judgment in which we all live. Thee alone do we worship and thy aid we seek. Most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of judgment, thee do we worship and thy aid we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, and those whose portion is not wrath and will go not astray. Amen. So we thank Allah for allowing us to be here tonight, and we're going to bring on our guest. We know he's busy. Brother Abdullah, please just match one on your phone, and you will be brought into the queue, and we will cut your mic on. Just match one on your phone, please, sir. Okay, there you go. A lot of white bottom. We're going to bring you in. Okay.
As-salamu alaykum.
Abdullah, the imam, one of the imams in Nashville, Tennessee. Alhamdulillah, we thank you. We thank you for coming on. We welcome you. We know that you might be busy, so we're going to let you go and start it off. And you are our guest tonight. We thank you for coming. So thank you for coming. I'm going to move out the way and let you say what you have to say and with your experience on this earth. I'm going to turn it over to you. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. When we get started, first off, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Before we even really get started, I wanted to say this to you. Thank you so much for having me, and thank you so much for allowing me to come and join in this conversation. I think that this is a really, really big conversation that we all need. And the one thing about this conversation is I'm never too busy to have this conversation, because this conversation, the oneness of Allah, and you know, of course, Imam Muhammad addressed this years and years ago, and now people are beginning to really kind of catch on to the idea that God is one. And so I just want to start off by thanking you, and also by thanking your audience. But, so I'll just give you a little background about myself and some of the things that I do here. My name is Hamid Abdullah. I'm the assistant imam here at Masjid al-Islam in Nashville, Tennessee. And I am also a student of the Sister Clara Muhammad School growing up. And so one of the things, the biggest things that was instilled to us was there is no God but Allah. And growing up, and you go out into the world and you see your Christian friends and just people in general, and they would all give worship. And I wouldn't even say to Jesus, they would give worship to the photos that they were shown as Jesus. And I didn't realize, especially at the time, how big it was. I didn't realize how big of a deal knowing that there is but one God was. And so today I get the opportunity to speak from time to time to inform my brothers and sisters that there is no God but Allah. Now, what's the importance of the idea that there is no God but Allah? When you recognize and when you realize that Allah is one and nothing has the right to be worshipped besides Him, then it literally frees you. It frees your mind. It doesn't put something in front of you and that hold you back. So that's why I believe that the work that you're doing is so important. And if it was not that important, Allah wouldn't have revealed that to the prophet. So this is the prophet's work, and we know that whatever Allah have ordered the messenger, He ordered the believer. So this in turn become our work to spread the word that there's only one God. And so that's what we're here to do today. And that's my intro, but I just wanted to kind of let everyone know that this is important work. And this is the kind of work that must be done. Another thing is, this is the kind of work and speech that have to come outside of the masjids. A lot of times we hear this at the masjid. We hear this in the four walls of the masjid. But it's like medicine. If medicine never come out of its package, then you will not begin to feel well. And so we have a society that's sick. And so we need our society to heal itself. And the best way for our society to heal itself is for the Muslim to remove this message out of the package that we call the masjid, out of the package of our minds, and go into the community and begin to give this life-giving message, this message of freedom. Yeah, because when you say la ilaha illallah, that is a part of it. That's the major part of freedom. And we know that because when people went to take our freedom, they took, the first thing they took was la ilaha illallah. The first thing they took. And when you see people today and they're going into remote places in Africa, one of the first things they do is they'll send in a picture of Jesus, and they'll use a Bible with pictures in it, and they'll give the people these pictures of themselves as the Savior. And you look up, and now you no longer possess the land. All you possess is the Bible, whereas they possess the land. So, again, thank you so much, and I'm here. If you have any questions or anything that you want to talk about, I'm free to talk about it all. Brother Imam?
Yeah. Will anybody have any questions for Brother Amin, the Imam, one assistant Imam from Nashville, Tennessee? Anybody got any questions or got any comments? There's Master One and come into the queue, and you can talk to Brother Imam Amin. So anybody got anything?
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Hamid, Imam Hamid.
Wa alaikum assalam. This sounds like Sister Daya.
This is she, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, good to hear your voice.
The same here. I would like to ask a question.
Yes, ma'am.
How do the young people feel, or what comments usually do they have when you start speaking to them on that message of concern, or telling them the truth about that image?
I'll say this, and I'll be honest, in that a lot of young people have walked away from that image, just to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. You have, I was talking to several friends of mine, and they just don't buy you. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is you have a lot of the older generation who may still, you know, use those images. But if you go into a lot of the churches across the country, you're not going to see a lot of younger people who have bought into that. Now, what they've done, though, is they've just, a lot of times, either they've walked away from it, or they have reversed it, and they have given Jesus, you know, their own skin color. But I don't think that's any better, honestly. Mm. And I say that because God says to us in Surah Ikhlas, he says, say he, Allah, is one.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about the human being, be it white, black, Chinese, or anything, none of us are just one. None of us. There are 7 billion people on earth. But Allah says he is Ahad, he is one. And then he said, Allahu Samad, you know, he is the eternal. You see, there's no person on earth that have ever lived can claim that they are the eternal. And then Allah says, Lam yalid wa lam yulad, he begets not. Nor was he begotten, and there's nothing like him. So you say, well, okay, well, that's the Muslim. That's the Muslim believes that. Well, if you look in the Bible, in Isaiah 46, in the Bible, it says, for I am God, and there is no one else. For I am God, and there is nothing like me. So it's the same talk, it's the same language. You know, and so what I see happening now more than the old pictures that grandma used to use, I see people now moving away from those pictures. And there are some that are moving to Islam. There are some that just want to have a spiritual relationship with the Creator. That's the language that they use, or the Most High. And then you have some who have moved away from that image of God, but they have moved towards more towards idolatry in money, in things, you know. So I think that now, today, all of that has to be addressed. It can't just be the picture because, okay, now a lot of people are not worshiping the picture. They're not looking at the picture. They're worshiping literally money. Mm. They're literally worshiping material things that that men have created. They are worshiping it, and they are going after those things. They even using what's that stuff called manifestation and just all this type of stuff. They're using all of that to get the things that they want. So as a community, as Muslim, we have to be aware of what it is that people are doing now. Yes, there are still those, and we still have to go after the ones that are who've been traditionally in the churches, because that's a large block of people. But we also have to go after those people that are in the gutters. We have to go after those people that are who don't have much, and because they don't have much, they worship money, they worship cars, they worship homes and things like that.
Understand. That's where, and that's why we have to start really educating our youth, along with giving them Islam, because they will get away from realizing and connecting that there is only one God, creator of the heavens and earth and all in between, creator of all systems of knowledge known and unknown, seen and unseen. And they must know this, because this is their main foundation and the root of their, I would say, learning and understanding growing up, because they're going to start asking questions, you know, about that particular subject when they hear other people and hear other people asking, because other people now are starting to ask about the images. Because they hear a lot of provocation about that now, you know, and this is also a stem for them to learn the truth about their heritage, about their history, and all that too, even in the schools or in the colleges as well, because my granddaughter graduated from Memphis State. She had, during Ramadan, they had a hold of I don't know, month of Ramadan as well, studying about, this was last year. Well, no, 2 years before she graduated, had a whole study about the Ramadan. You know, they had almost a whole month rather. And she called me and was asking me questions. Jenna, yeah, you know Jenna. And she was calling me, asking me questions, you know, that had come up in her class about Ramadan and about the history of Muslims and of Ramadan and stuff like that. So I know it's definitely coming to a head, and they must be told the truth about, you know, the whole deal. So we can't forgive them. As long as they have that foundation, like, you know, like the children have there at Masjid al-Islam and in Nashville, And other schools too, Sister Claire Muhammad schools, those that are open, whether full-time or part-time, they still have to know the truth, you know, because they're definitely going to ask, because, like, this thing is coming to a head. The victory is already won, as we say, you know. They're taking the statues and all out of churches and out of their homes, statues of portraying divine, which is Jesus, you know. From home, out of the homes.
And
all. Go ahead.
I'll tell you, I used to, I have sons, and I have a son that's 23, and then I have one was about to be 19.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to worry about them, you know. I used to worry about them because they were not overly religious, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times they didn't really, you know how growing up we may have been into Islam. Because we grew up and we were around Islam all the time. So one of my sons, he's in Memphis. And then I have another one. He has his own living situation here. And I used to really worry about them. And then one day I came to the masjid, and all the teenagers were out there playing basketball, having a good time. And when the call for prayer came, I saw everybody as I was pulling in. I saw them walking in. And when I was able to get to the bathroom and make my wudu and come in, I saw my sons in line praying without me being there, without me asking, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I knew that it was going to be all right. I say that because, you know, I remember the imam saying something a while back, and he said, make sure you call the adhan in your house.
Mm-hmm.
Children are going to go out, and they're going to explore. They have to see the world. There's something in them that makes them have to see the world.
Right.
But make sure you call the adhan so when they get out into the world, and they come up against those hard problems, and it may be problems that you may not be able to be there with them on, you know, but they remember a time when they, and when you were having a problem, and they saw you call on the Lord, the Creator. They saw you call on Allah. And so I thought about that, and I couldn't help but think about Jacob and Joseph and how he gathered his sons and he asked them, who are you going to worship after I'm gone? Who are you going to worship after I'm gone? And so this is the question. I feel like as parents, even grandparents, we have to ask our children, who are you going to worship? And let them know, and know this is nothing small. This is a huge deal.
Yes,
because too many of our parents and our grandparents fought. Some of them died. Some of them bled. Some of them went to jail just so we can be able to go out into the world as Muslim, as free Muslim, not hampered by people over in the Middle East. No, we were given our religion from someone who knew our condition. They talked to us about our condition. And so now we don't have these, you know, we don't have these hang-ups where we feel like we have to change culture to be a Muslim. You see, and so we see a lot of that with some of the younger people, right? But for us, and this is just my feeling, I feel like Allah has blessed us so much that he allowed us to know who we are and still bring our contribution to the ummah. So this, for me, this is a huge deal, and I ask my children, even to this day, I ask them, who are you going to worship? Because I'm not going to be here forever, you know, and one day you're going to have a problem, and you're going to have to fall on your knees and go to the one who created you, who created the solution to your problem. So this is what our young people need. They need to know that you're going to have problems. Life is not going to be easy all the time. Life is not going to be a cakewalk. At some point, you're going to have to come back and put kneel your face.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that's at the very top of your body, the brain, it has to go on the ground, and that's the thing that brings you closer to your Lord. So, you know, I'm happy. You know, personally, I'm satisfied with the work that my wife and I have done. And I feel like Allah is happy with the work that we've done, but I know that we have a lot more work to do because I can't be happy that my children are praying if my brother and sister children aren't praying, if my friends' children aren't praying. I can't be happy like that. So that's why I'm happy. Every time when Brother Osborne come up here, I know sometimes he'll go out and he'll hit the streets in Nashville, you know, and it does my heart good because really he's going to speak to someone and tell them something that they probably have not heard from anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to reach somebody that I may not have been able to reach.
Right.
And I'm sure even in Atlanta, same thing. We all, this is not just one or two people's work. This is the work of every Muslim.
That's right.
Every Muslim should be inviting people. Come to the masjid. Let's sit in circles and read and study to see what it is Allah is saying to us. Because the more we read and study and find what it is Allah is saying to us, the closer we become to Allah.
That's
you know, Allah, he reminds us that he's closer to us than our jugular vein. And our jugular vein is inside of us. So if here Allah is closer to me than my jugular vein, then I really should be praising him. And not just praising him with lip service, but I should be praising him by helping others, by doing things for my neighbors, making sure my neighbors are okay, making sure my community is okay. All that's a part of praising Allah, the one God.
That's right. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much for that explanation. We always enjoy you. Keep up the good work, Brother Hamid. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
All the greetings from me.
Yes, sir.
Well, anybody else got any questions for Brother Imam Hamid? He's here tonight. Thank him for coming on. From Nashville, he's an assistant imam there in Nashville. And your father was on what, Monday?
Tuesday night.
Yeah, and father alhamdulillah. And so anybody got any question or like to say something, brother, your mic is on. I turned everybody's mic on. 323-3149, the last digit, you were first.
I was using my wife's phone, but I cut mine off just now, you know, and I just like to give our good brother, you know, the greeting of Aishalam Alankum. I always enjoy listening to the next generation, you know, the younger people, you know, just to see where they're at, you know, as far as the belief in one God, you know, you know, I know your father, I know him, I don't know you too well, but, you know, when I... The time that I came down there, y'all was young, you know.
Yes, sir.
And I'm brother Shuja Muhammad. But some of the same things, you know, that you ask your children, and that you taught your children, is the same thing that I brought to my children. You know, first of all, you know, we did prayer all the time, you know, and when they got on their own, I asked them, I just checked with them, you know, and asked them, do you believe in God, you know, and all of them, you know, they bear witness, you know, that there's only one God, you know, and that's important, your children, to hear your children say that. You know, and them believing in God, you know, and they were raised up around you, and they saw the grandfather, they saw the mothers and fathers praying and things, and saying different things. That was ammunition for them. You know, that was giving them something to use out in the public,
mm-hmm.
you You know, they use everything from you. You know, we don't want to talk. We talk them in the house, and when they go out into society, they got what was taught to them, and they know mm-hmm. how to use it outside. And that's what I'm hearing you saying. You know,
mm-hmm.
absolutely. A lot less than 7 boys and 5 girls. You know, and I'm thankful to Allah that I can say that all of them believe in one God. You know, pray to Allah, just keep doing what you're doing. You know, and there's always gonna be one or two that's gonna jump out. You know, gonna take the flag from you.
Mm-hmm.
There's always going to be one that's set up, you know, and represent the whole family. You know, mm-hmm. it don't make no difference whether all of them jump out there. I know, I mean, everybody want all of them to jump out there,
mm-hmm.
you know, and bear witness to the one of God. But you get one that jump out there, you're going to bear witness for everybody, you know.
That's right.
And you know, you know a lot of them bless you. You know, and bless your family. So, praise be to Allah. I have heard you talk more than once. I've heard you speak more than once, and I can bear witness you had the right spirit. You know, and I pray that Allah continue blessing you. You know, you seem like you're a brother that respect people, and understand that Allah. And I heard you just say that Allah bless each and every one of us.
Yes, sir.
He blessed each and every one of us. I heard you just say that, you know. So, mm-hmm. Your understanding is good, and it seems like you got the social skills. So we thank mm-hmm. Allah for you. We pray that Allah keep on blessing you and your children and your parents. You know, and bless Sister Mahasan, you know, and your father. Praise be to Allah. You know, y'all keep on doing what you're doing, and everybody see it. You know, all the believers, they see it. That's all I have to say. Allah bless.
Thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I really appreciate hearing it, especially from my community. And although we're not in the same city, we are all still one community, and I view us as one family. You know, I remember growing up being at the conventions, and can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I hear you clearly.
Okay.
Clear?
Yeah, I remember growing up and being at the convention, and it seemed to me that everybody had that spirit, had the same spirit, and I am, you know, just to be able to be around the brothers. I remember coming back from the convention, how our family and communities would be discussing what the things that we learned at the convention. And so I'm just thankful to be a person who had the opportunity to grow up in this community, because Allah knows I could have been, my father could have taken a thousand different routes, but this
right.
is the route that he took, and I'm thankful to Allah that he made that decision, you know.
Right. Praise be to Allah, bro.
Allah wa ibab. Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Brother Muhammad from Kalama told you got your hand up. You want to say something?
Yeah, I can like him. But as always, we thank a lot for our brother coming down and sharing his love for Allah and his messenger, and for what we have been blessed to have the opportunity to establish, you know, and educate ourselves into having the type of discipline to be satisfied with what Allah has created us to be. Because we could have been something else too, you know. We could still be Christians. We could still be in the street. We could still be a rich Negro, or we still could be black, or we still could be African American. But We thank Allah for what Allah has brought us to, and to see that every label that has been put on all of humanity, you know, nationalities, skin color, nicknames and all that, that we see that each and every one of them will have the same opportunity to come together and be free of all of that, you know, and be what we need to be, you know, and establish, God willing, you know, inshallah, Allah willing, to establish a life right here for those people who are free to come and do that, to get away from the schemes of Shaitan, the false education, the lack of education, the off balance of education. So we thank Allah very much for him coming down. So I basically just wanted to reinforce what he said, because it was all in the same thing that inshallah was going to say very briefly there too. We're coming out of the month of Ramadan, and we have young leaders like him, male and female, young leaders like him, who are coming out and showing us and how they articulate Allah's gift of the intelligence that they have, and how they are so delicate with our intelligence, with our emotions, with our concerns, and with our likes and dislikes. But at the same time, they trying to call us, like the brother said, call us all the way back to the life of the Quran and the life example of Prophet Muhammad that was given to us. And it is the best way to give to everybody else if they want it. And we have to accept that. Allah has shown us that our relatives, that family members, your neighbors, some of the people that you would never think, but and then some people even come all the way in and then go back out. So he lets us know that you have to accept that people had the freedom to not be what we are and not appreciate what we are, because Allah said we really, the human beings, ungrateful for this small favor I had given to them, you know? So we thank that our youth, that our young leadership is coming. It's also time to tell us, I appreciate the progress you made. I appreciate the work that you're doing. But don't y'all realize that y'all taught us, when you taught us al-Islam, not the smoke, not to drink, not to lose your anger, not to celebrate birthdays, not to celebrate holidays, not to celebrate Santa Claus. We have to remember that not only do our children know that the world know that, because that is what the world taught us, and that is what the world uses as a doorway to us to keep us from enjoying the life that we have now, because they know if too many of us come together and continue to educate the world into the knowledge of one God and what he has prescribed for us, and also to remind us how far astray we are, then they will continue to pretend that, like, to pretend to us that they don't know what we're talking about. And we know we have made it clear, you know, for all these 1,443 years, plus in our lifetime here in America, in the last 100 years, the last 80 years, we know that Muslims, especially those of African descent, are the slaves of here in America, have done a very, very sincere, good job of educating people in America what al-Islam is. You know, what we believe, why we believe it, why we no longer believe in what they still do that we used to do. And we have to continue to ask Allah to bless us with the type of stamina, type of firmness, to be happy at being who we are. You know, and then we don't have all those doorways of influence on us anymore that we know from history and from our little short time here in America, you know, that we know that the Satan and people under his influence have taught us as a means to snare us and keep us from educating ourselves more and more and more in that there's only one God. There's only one way. There's only one way to please Allah. There's only one way to get to the Jannah. You know, while at the same time making sure that we invite everyone to that opportunity too. But we have to sometime, like the experience that our children are experiencing now, our children know and their children know that they're coming out of the month of Ramadan. They have been reminded everything that their mothers and fathers had told them, everything that's in the Quran that they have learned and read and been taught at and educated on, everything in the life of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that they have been taught on and educated on, and they know that that was taken from us last year to a certain degree. Some of us lost our faith in certain areas. We lost our discipline in certain areas. We lost a lot of time dealing with other people's problems and their way of life and their false beliefs and everything like that, explaining to them why we can't respond to it anymore like they used to, but also reminding them that we are very aware of what you're going through. We were like that, or either my father was, or either my grandfather was. And if you like to remember once upon a time, my great-great-grandfather was a slave, so we fully understand what you're going through. But what we're trying to tell you is that we're inviting you to what God has given you another opportunity to reconstruct, to recreate, to redevelop your whole human creation by following Al-Islam, if you want to. We're not here to force you, but we do have to, you have to begin to understand that we do know that you're only fooling us, that you're only using a high science of psychology and diplomacy to keep us coming to birthday parties, even if it might be in a place where they serve alcohol. And we think out of your manners, not our manners, that we should attend. You think that we should be a part of celebrations, activities that are totally against what we believe, and we've been telling you, and our grandfathers have been telling you, you know, and been telling you over and again, we do not participate in that. We have showed you books. We have given you the Quran. We have given you examples of why we appreciate your love that you extend to us. But we know we have already been warned that the law tells us that they will do anything to keep you from turning to your Lord and creation. They don't want you to return. So we have to learn and ask Allah to give us the type of educational sense like the brother speaking of, to be able to let people know that we're here to help you. We won't let you starve. We'll do whatever we can. But we cannot continue to cater or participate into your falsehood, your false way of life. We must go on our own way. We must, right here in America, where we pay taxes, where we do this, that, where we have done that, where we have made sacrifices, that, and let our children enjoy the knowledge of God, the knowledge of their example of how to serve God. The wonderful holidays we have, the wonderful food we have, the wonderful manners we have that are not phony. We're just not doing it because we don't know no better, or it's something that we were taught and we have a psychological response to it. We want to be firm and make our children understand and love Al-Islam because that's who they are. And it does not curtail them from helping anyone, be he Muslim or not, from knowing this knowledge, from knowing that there's only one God, the knowing that we will not give you any bad food, that knowing we will not give you alcohol, we will not have alcohol. We will respect even your false manners that you have been taught by Satan and people who are under his influence for thousands of years. We have to take the advantage, in closing, of this wonderful opportunity like this brother right here and his family to come, that Allah wants you to be happy and satisfied with your own life, with a secured environment around you, even if we had to have our own police, our own security people around us and protect our perimeters of our knowledge here in America like everybody else has. It's our God-given right. It's our United States of America's right that we have a right to live independently of any other way of life in America that conflicts with our worship of one God and his messenger. So we pray that our brother today who came and talked today, he look at him, he's so much like his father. He's learned so much from his father to be and go forward on extending the discipline, the firmness, and keep up his prayers to Allah, to ask Allah to give him the intelligence on how to apply and expand our way of life. And the people will accept it because they already know anyway. We're the last one to know about al-Islam here in America. We're the last one who is eating what we're supposed to be eating. Everyone is telling us how to live our life, and we're telling them how to live there, but that's not getting no progress nowhere. That's not no progress for us and no progress for them, because this is the final opportunity for us to save our souls and for the opportunity of those who understand what Allah is inviting to will save their soul and their children and their loved ones. But we cannot. And we pray that this year, again, through our prayers, something that we know Allah will guarantee us, he will answer, that we establish a perimeter of strong brothers and sisters to watch our subdivisions, our schools, our place of recreation. Because if you see what they're doing to themselves, you can imagine what once Shaitan gets them pumped up enough to where they're going to start attacking anyone who they think is having the potential belief of going to the one God and being a good person. No more drinking, no more smoking, no whatever. No more eating pork. No. They are not going to put up with it. So we thank you, brother, for coming and sharing what Allah has blessed you and your family and showing them that, just like Suja was saying, one of you has stood up, maybe two or four more, and we pray that the whole world will wake up. But we thank Allah that the son of Yusuf is coming and inviting us back to our world. Tell us to come on home. Tell us, older brothers and pioneers, y'all can come home now. We got it from here. We can handle it. We're gonna let people know that this is what we believe. And that's what they believe, and we can coexist with each other if you want to. Thank you very much, brother. Thank you very much for coming and telling us about how Allah is blessing you, has been blessing you and your family, and we all show some gratefulness to Allah for that. Thank you very much.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. I'm sitting here as you were talking. I'm sitting here, and my mind is turning because I think about, you know, growing up in the masjid, and that was a conversation. That was a conversation that I had with another, I guess it was a student from Sister Clara Muhammad School, but we had just left the Clara Muhammad School, and we were going into high school, and so we were getting older, and we were around more people. At first, we were all just amongst ourselves, which I think is needed, especially when you're growing something. It's like growing a plant. You know, you start off in a small pot, and then when it's grown up enough, then you put it into the ground and watch it flourish. So the sister asked me a question. She said, how do you know what you are learning is right and what everybody else is learning is wrong? Now, when you ask a 13, 14-year-old that, he don't know. Because this is, everything is new to him, you know, and for me it was the same thing. Everything was new for me, and so when she asked me that, I didn't know how to answer it. So I set out to find the answer, and the answer came But it came years later. And the answer came in the form of you study what people know. And then you study what you're supposed to know. And when you compare and contrast, and when you look at it, you will find that what Christianity is, original Christianity is nothing but a part of what we have. It's, to me, I look at it as one big old puzzle. Allah, he revealed his message to Isa, alayhi salam. Allah, he revealed a message to Musa, alayhi salam. This is all one message. All one message. Now, people came later and said, oh, this is Christianity. Oh, this is Judaism. And then they begin to give us their interpretation. You know, we hear the gospel according to John. It's not necessarily the gospel. This is the gospel according to John or according to Matthew, you know, and so forth. So, but when you begin to look and you study and you look at the main thing that the scriptures were teaching, it was basically one God, to worship one God. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, that's the first of the commandments, to worship the Lord thy God. You know, and so you start in with, this is not a competition. We are not competing against Christianity in the sense of the actual Christianity. We're not competing. Now, we are competing with you in what people have given us as Christianity. And I kind of look at that like, you know, if my name is Hamid Abdullah, right? And I was born to Mohsen Abdullah. But if somebody come later on and says, this is Hamid Abdullah, he was born on the planet Krypton, he get his energy from the sun, and they begin to make me a superman, a super god, and I'm not there, and then people begin to believe that's how that can happen. Jesus was the messenger of God, and he taught that God was one. Moses was the messenger of God, and he taught that God was one. Muhammad is the messenger of God, and he taught that God was one. All of these messengers, when you look at the core of their teaching, it is La ilaha illallah. So the question that she asked me, how do you know that the Christians are wrong? How do you know that everybody else is wrong and you are right? Well, the answer to that is they were all coming from the same source. But history shows us that we can point out to the Nicene Council and so many other councils that were had, history shows us where they took the words of God. They took the religion that God sent down, which is only one religion, and that's the mission to him. They took those religions, and they rewrote with their own hands, and God talked about that in the Quran. They'll write it with their own hands. And so the best weapon that any of us can ever have is an education. And that's why I'm thankful for the Sister Clara Muhammad School. I'm thankful for Imam Wardeen Muhammad putting together Elijah Muhammad started off. Let me get that right. He started off with the University of Islam, and then Imam Muhammad continuing that legacy with the Clara. I'm thankful for that. Because had we not had that education, again, we could be off track, off balance, you know. And so I am thankful for that. Another thing, because we talk about, I heard the brothers mention, coming back to our elders. But see, if we're honest, a lot of our elders are still in the masjids. They're there. It's our brothers in our AI peer group that are not there. And so it made me think of Jola. You know how those brothers used to come to the United States, and they would come and they would go on Jola. And I heard that the government said you can only visit people who are already Muslim. See, that's what we need now more than anything. If there was ever a time, a need for Jola, that type of Jola is now, to go to some of our brothers who we know went to the Clara Muhammad School, to go to some of our sisters that we know studied with us at the Sister Clara Muhammad School that are just out there in the world, and call them back. Look, you know, Allah has given us, brothers and sisters, Allah has given us so much. He's given us so much knowledge and information. He's given us Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who answered all the questions, really, that we have. Those questions have been answered. And really all we have to do is get up off of it, get up off of our heads, take time, and go out and meet our brothers and sisters where they are. Some of our old Muslim brothers and sisters are in some strange places right now, but we have to get off our hands and go meet them where they are. Bring them back. Talk to them. Talk to their spirit. Speak a word of truth directly to their heart and let them know that, listen, I know you didn't come up like this. I know that you know better. I know that you know better to be out here drinking and showing out in this public. And I know that because we will talk together. Speak to their heart. And don't shame them, but go out with a genuine concern for what's happening in their life, and we'll begin to see them come back time after time after time. You know, the prophet Ibrahim, he asked Allah, how is it that you give life to the dead? Allah asked him, do you not believe? And Ibrahim wanted to know, you know, this is just for my own satisfaction. So Allah, he told him to take four birds and train them. Take the four birds. And I know we've heard the imam use this before, but I still want to say this because I'm a firm believer in those four birds. He said, take them and tame them, and then call them, and you will see them coming to you with speed. I look at the Sister Clara Muhammad School as the institution that trained those birds. And then we as parents at home, we are also a part of the institution that trained those birds. What are those birds? The birds of business. Every community needs business. What are those birds? The birds of education. Every community has to educate itself. What are those birds? The birds of political influence, politics. Every community has to have some type of political influence because we live in a government where there are people, and people have to learn to get along with one another. So the instrument that we use is politics. What are those birds? Our social networks. You know, sometimes people leave the bashing because there's nothing social happening. There's nothing that they can, there's no way that they can express themselves. I like to sing, but I can't go to the masjid and sing. I like to do poetry. I can't go around my brothers and do poetry. So they go to these different places, going out, doing the things that they love to do. Well, we can say, brother, come back home. Look, you going to the school, write poetry. We're going to have poetry night at our school. And now he's doing what he loves. And when the time comes and that bird is tamed, when the Muslim brother say, brother, we need someone who's in business to help us open this door for the masjid. You call him and he'll come flying to you with speed. Brother, we need someone to come back to educate our children. And you call them and they'll come flying back with speed. Brother, we need someone to run for mayor, to look after the interests of all people, not just the Muslim, but for all people. And we need you. You call them and they'll come back running with speed. I think about the Clara Muhammad School here, and this coming year, or this past year, is Sister Mahasa, my mother's last year. But my sister, who is a graduate from Sister Clara Muhammad, who is also a graduate of Tennessee State, she's coming back to be the principal of the school. She's a young sister. She's in her 30s, right? And not only is she young, see, young people know other young people. Young people know young people. So now she's on the phone making calls. We got to get our students. We got to get our babies here, right? So I said my thing is I'm going to make sure that she have the funding, she have the funds she needs, so it's not so hard on us. That's my goal. That's my mission, to make sure she have what she needs so it's not hard. Because sometimes our elders make things look easy. They make it look so easy. Oh, it's easy to do what you're doing. But when you get up there, it's not that easy, right? I was the principal of the school. I grew more gray hairs out of my face as the principal of the school than I have ever grown in my life, right? But my mother, she made it look so easy. When I was 15 years old, I gave my first cook-by. And it was a 7-minute cook-by. And I thought that I could do it because my father, he made it look so easy, right? And I'm thinking, okay, well, if he can do it, and it didn't dawn on me that you got to put in some time. You have to put in some work. You have to put in some study time. You have to know something before you get out there. And so they allow me to go out there and try it. They allow that. And not just myself. They allow a lot of brothers to come out, come try this, come do this, learn with me, come study with me, and then go out. And they push you out. And you felt like, I know for me, I felt like I was in the ocean and there was no bottom to my feet. You know, I couldn't stand up. So, again, the elders, they make it look easy. So now this is the time when we talk about bringing those birds to life, bringing those birds and calling those birds back and bringing communities back to life. This is the life, or this is what that – this. To me, this is what that verse is talking about. We have children. Train your children in ways that's going to benefit this community, and then call them. Don't sit on them. Call them. Brother, come back to this community and come back as a benefit and come show us what you can do. Show us what we trained you for, and you will watch these younger people coming back to the masjid, flying with speed, trying to show all the things that they have learned in college, all the things that they've learned in the business world, all the things that they've learned in politics, and then so forth and so on. So Allah has been kind. You know, and lastly, I want to say this, because a lot of people in my age group, we are second-generation Muslim. And my children, they're third-generation Muslim, right? And as a second-generation Muslim, we don't have anything to go back to. I can't look at a picture of Jesus and ever think that that's God. Ever. My children, they can't look at a picture of Jesus and say, oh, Lord Jesus. They can't do that. It's not in them. That's not in them. The only time you find that is when someone has already been that, and they're coming out of that, and then they may be able to go back. But for us, this is it. If we don't make it here, we won't make it. And so, you know, I remember growing up, my uncle, he would sneak me off, you know, and he'd say, I know you live in the house with your mom now, but when you get out the house, you're going to become a Christian? And that was his question. You know, that was his question to me. Are you going to become a Christian? And I had no idea what he was talking about. How could I ever go back to something that I've never been to? Islam is the only thing that I've ever seen. And so there are a lot of people where Islam is the only thing that they've ever seen. And the only thing we have to do as Muslims is get on our telephones and not be proud to call them. As-salamu alaykum, brother. I haven't seen you in so long. Meet me at the masjid. Meet me at the masjid. I'll buy bean pie on me. You know, meet me at the masjid after Jumu'ah dinner. The dinner is going to be on me. And let's get our brothers and sisters back. Because to be honest, those brothers and sisters are the secret weapon. They're the secret weapon we've been looking for. They're the ones that's going to be able to tell their peers in a way that their peers can understand that the things that we have been given are not, that's not it, right? They're the ones that can use the technology and get on the computer and reach 400, 500, 600,000 people. My little brother, he's on the internet and he's in the Marine Corps. He does his cadence and he get on there and he had 1.2 million views. And I'm sitting there thinking, my God, 1.2 million? But see, this is his generation. This generation with all this technology, that's their generation. That's his generation. And I'm not saying I'm not a part of it. We just caught the beginning part of the technology. Now they got some stuff that I have to go to my children and ask, okay, teach me about this. Tell me this. And they go and they do it with such ease. So we can't be afraid to go and come and talk to the hearts of our children. We can't be afraid to talk to the hearts of our brothers and sisters. Lastly, and I know I said that once, but I'm really done after this. Our communities need more than ever to cater to children. More than anything else, more than anyone else, we need to cater to babies age 3 through 10. And I say that because when we cater to babies age 3 through 10, those babies tell their parents, Mama, I want to go to the masjid. I actually put a swing set out front. And babies come by and they want to swing. They want to come to the masjid. And every time you look up, you see babies. And at that age, that's the age that they are supposed to learn La ilaha illallah. Because if you get them at that age, between 3 and 10, and you teach them La ilaha illallah. Yes, I got a jumpy house here for you. I got cotton candy. I have a baseball bat. I have a basketball goal. Yes, and you get them there and they plan and have a good time. Okay, kids, let's gather for a second. I'm going to tell you something real quick. La ilaha illallah. Remember that. Don't forget it. There is no God but Allah. And Muhammad is his messenger. Don't forget it. All right, go back and have a good time. And you tell them every time you see them. And you look up 20 years from now, those same kids that used to come out and play are now telling children, La ilaha illallah. See, this religion is infectious, especially once it takes hold. Once those kids grow up and they begin to experience life, the religion is infectious. You experience in life and you come through a hard time or even a good time. And the first thing you remember before you call mama, before you call daddy, La ilaha illallah. There is no God but Allah. And now when I have that and I've learned that and it's in me, it's fortified in me, nobody can come to me and tell me just anything. You can't tell me just anything, and you can't command me just anything. Why? Because my Lord is Allah. Allah, he let us know when the time for a prayer is proclaimed, hasten earnestly to the remembrance of Allah and leave off business and traffic that is better for you. And so when we hear that and we believe in Allah, we know that Allah is the God. There's nobody that you even working for can tell you that you can't go to Juma. No, I'm going to Juma. I'm not asking. So Allah has been good to us, brothers and sisters. Allah has been so kind that he opened our hearts to Islam. And we know the saying that when Allah wants to favor a person, he opens their heart to Islam. Islam is not something that your parents can do for you. Islam is not something that my brothers and sisters can do for me. This is something that I have to do for myself. This is something that I can't depend on mom or dad to come and do this for me. And again, the more you live, the more you know that this is something that I have to do for myself. So all praises due to Allah. I'm going to stop there because I've been saying I was going to stop for a long time, so I'm going to actually stop here.
All right, Bob. Allah, thank you. Thank you, Brother Hameen. Thank you. You bet. Excellent. I do want to bring Suja back up. Brother Suja.
Right. Thank the prisoners. And let the prisoner go.
Hmm?
You got to thank the prisoner.
Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.
Excellent. I'm sorry. I had it on mute.
Okay.
And I'm also in traffic. Alhamdulillah, our brother said it all.
Yes, sir.
He said it all, and we all see that he's on full. And all we can say is praises be to Allah, and stay on it, brother. You know, we're going to be praying for you, and we're going to support you.
Alhamdulillah.
I'm on my way to the masjid, and I'm just listen.
Okay.
So take care. Alhamdulillah. Give your family and everybody a greeting.
Yes, sir. Alaikum assalam.
Sister Karan, you want to say something? Assalamualaikum. Sister Karan, you want to say something? Well, I got some.
I was saying, I said, when I was listening to the brother, I was telling my husband, I said, oh, he's a good speaker. I said, alhamdulillah. And some of the things he was saying, like, for example, you were saying about the children, you know, teaching and training them. There's a top tier. I'm not sure it was by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad or the Imam Waradi Muhammad, but it was stating that you give your children the basics, teach them, because if you teach them, they'll know how to come back. And what you said, they'll know how to they'll come back, and they know how to come back. That's alhamdulillah. So everything you said is right on with the teaching. Alhamdulillah.
That was from Imam. I was thinking about that. That was from Imam Muhammad, and I believe that I live by that.
Alhamdulillah. That is straight. Alhamdulillah. And I bear witness. I have family that did that, and I know Muslim children that did, and they came back once they heard the truth. And what it's not really. I'm gonna tell you the truth. It's not really their fault. It's our fault. We are senior citizens, and we have a duty to do too. And right now, and I think we are waking up to that. We are ready. You're ready, alhamdulillah. We got a duty to do, so we have a lot of wisdom that we have to give to our children. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah. Well, thank you, Brother Hameen, for that. You know, I know you kind of busy. We really appreciate you. We'd like for you to come back in the future when you are not busy. You're welcome to come anytime, but when you ain't busy, please come back. And I'm gonna be calling on you. I really enjoyed what you had to say tonight.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you all so much for having me. And inshallah, whenever you call, just let me know, and I'm always here.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Give everyone the greeting. May Allah continue to bless you and your family and your relatives, everybody. Give everybody in Nashville the greeting. And hope to see y'all real soon, probably around the phone. Inshallah.
We look forward. All right. Assalamu alaikum.
What do they got tonight? Okay. Alhamdulillah. Well, we're going to bring, thank you. We're going to bring Brother Muhammad from Columbus, Georgia back up. Brother Muhammad.
Assalamualaikum. Yeah, Waalaikumsalam. Yes, sir. Assalamualaikum. Waalaikumsalam. Alhamdulillah.
Well, I want to hear from you. What's up? Go ahead.
Okay. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just want to, you know, again, we want to appreciate and let it sink in what Allah has sent to us, to Brother Amin, and enjoy the joy that he has in knowing that his life is complete. All he had to do is just keep it complete, and so that others can draw from the fullness that he has to share.
So we thank Allah for that. And we all have that, and we all have our permission by Allah that we're all on full. You know, but we can get fuller and fuller and fuller, and like Allah said, the best amongst you is the one who's most useful to his community. So we're always on full, but we're always growing, inshallah. We always can get fuller and continue to share the nutritional gift of life that Allah gives us, you know, share it with others, you know, especially those who believe. Allah says share with everyone, but make sure that you share it with the believers, because then you'll have someone who will help it grow more and also continue to help with the sharing, while others who might have and need it for reasons at that time, but inshallah, like we're all saying, that it will come back out of them later on, inshallah, by Allah's will, and then they will become sharers. As we know that life unfolds, using that translation, that English translation, it unfolds. And the more it unfolds, the bigger and broader the perimeter of it grows and reaches other people by the nuclei, which is the Quran and the life example of Prophet Muhammad that Allah has given us to start this last unfoldment. You know, this last unfoldment, just like that, you know, Al-Islam and its unfolding will become the sins of those who Allah has forbidden for their sins to be covered over and forgiven. You know, and it will also help cover those who are exposed to such sins. Will find cover and comfort in that, and be able to get under that fold. And the number one example of that fold is prayer. If we can remember to pray to Allah and His Messenger, pray to Allah. And obey his messenger, you know, we'll keep unfolding this reality that our Almighty God Allah has given us, because he's the only one giving it to us. You know, we know in our prayers we ask Allah and thank him so much for giving us something, because if without him there ain't nothing. And regardless of what anything, be it even the creatures, the trees, the universe, all of them know that without Allah they would not exist. They know Allah has that type of connection with his creation, you know, because he cherishes and nourishes them all. He gives the sun its gases to be the sun. He gives everything what it needs. So we will thank Allah very much for giving us that awareness. And right now where we are, the best thing we can do is to establish it, you know, establish it. And we pray a lot that as our minds are at this point of purification, still we're still fighting the schemes of the Shaitan. We know he's out. We know he's on the hunt. He's trying to regain what he thinks he already had, but really we just got our own self locked up. See, when something is whispered to you, it means whatever it does to you, it comes from your permission, because it's inside you. It's only a whisper. It's just echoing around in your head and in your conscience and et cetera. And you're the one who puts the restriction on yourself, like well, many of us do, just by when we hear a lie, when we hear something false, when we hear that something is good. But we thank Allah that we learned a long time ago that Satan can't promise you nothing. So what you hear in your intellect, remember, it can't come true. So don't even entertain it. Just let it go and keep on listening to the clarity that Allah sends us, you know, and we'll be all right. So we want to make sure. And those of you who are out there on the career cube, like we said, we use the greatest thing that God has given all of us. We pray for you, and we pray for ourselves, and we pray that these schemes and these rumors and these images and things that Shaitan gives us, you know, through his manifestation in the human being and what he does to the material world, to make us think that he really exists. But we got to remember that's human beings who are doing that. See, that's human beings over there who's killing each other right now and tearing up the water and tearing up the soil and poisoning this and poisoning that. So if we want to stop Shaitan, we have to make dua and give it a model example for our fellow human beings who are lost. Just like Allah says, and he says all of us are lost. He said, brother, we are lost, except for those who remember. So we ask Allah to increase, you know, our dhikr to him, you know, and increase our taqwa, because that keeps us on the job. See, we can't work if we don't have permission, and we can't get permission if we lost, you know. So we want to try to help bring this reality that we have to accept. Allah said that the human being is lost, you know. So we have to make sure that that's what we're doing. We're out here searching for people who are lost. And sometimes when you run into them, they're going to be disorientated because they have been going through all kind of experiences in their lostness, because Shaitan has them spinning in circles and have them full of fear and confusion. But once they see the light of the Quran and example of Prophet Muhammad first of all, in our deeds and actions, and then in our comforting voices, inshallah, and we share the light of our intelligence with them, you know, to help bring them out of that darkness that they're in, you know, from being lost, and explain to them that they're remembering the wrong God, that's, you know, the wrong authority over their life, the wrong force in their life, you know. But if they come more adapt, you know, to the guidance of Allah, their true creator, you know, by the light that is coming through, inshallah, through us, and the little bit of light that they still have in themselves, you know, we will help them get out of that state of loss and disorientation, and that helps us to stay focused on our own self. You know, we know a lot of love to the believers who work, because that work can keep you in touch with the reality that Allah has given us. When you see the produce that it gives out in knowledge, wisdom, understanding, emotional concern, etc. So we pray that again that this message of concern, like the brother guest we had, you know, it's through the educational process of listening to the words of Almighty God, Allah, the creator of all the world, you know. And so that's so comforting to know that regardless of where you at in your intellectual life, you know, God is there to guide you. Allah is there to guide you. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is there to guide you in his deeds and his actions and his sayings, you know. So as we spread this information out, called out Islam, and put it out there in a way that is pleasing and tasteful to those who are thirsty, tasteful to those who have been eating salt, tasteful to those who have been eating the wrong type of food, when they get the purity of this nourishment of the words of the Quran and the deeds and actions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, it will make them come out of that stupor, out of that losses that we were once in, some of us, you know. And I thank the clarity of how deep the joy that our children can have when they realize, like our brother guest speaker just said, that there ain't nowhere to go but right here where you was born at, in al-Islam, you know, and raised in al-Islam, and that's all you know, that it puts you in a position of such high authority. Because remember, we're Khalifa. When that intellect reached that level of Khalifa, can't nobody bring you no bunch of stuff. Can't nobody lie to you no more. You know, can't nobody really deceive you no more. And it makes you say, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, for being able to be in that state of mind. And in closing, it's very important. We are in the best state of faith, We are in the best state of intelligence right now. We are in the best state of controlling our emotions, and our spirit is really ready to go. Now that we have come out of the month of Ramadan for the sake of pleasing Almighty God Allah, and He has responded by freeing us from things that were totally out of control in our life, and we got them back in balance now. We have to maintain that balance, inshallah. Let's make dua together every day this year. All five times in all of our dua, dhikr and all of our duas. Ask Allah to keep us a believing Muslim for the rest of this year and see what great strides we really make. You know, we won't be setting 5 years aside or 2 years aside or 5 years, 50 years down the road, knowing that we're going to lose a lot of children. We're going to lose a lot of collateral damage if we are willing to wait that long by our own free will. By our own free will, we are waiting to suffer that long. We are waiting, willing to put off that long for progress. Well, Allah said you can have it now. He said the victory is already yours. Why are we prolonging something that we already have? When we bring that to our consciousness, to our taqwa, to our dhikr, to our conscious reality, we already got the victory. His victory will be determined how well we apply it in deeds and action. The booty is already there. All we got to do is pick it up and use it and spin it in the way of Allah. And I think when we really develop the type of dhikr to understand that, then we won't let anything interfere with us coming together tomorrow. If not tomorrow, the day after tomorrow. But not 5 years, not 10 years from now. All this stuff that we need is right here, right now. The earth is here. The concrete is here. The food is here. The water is here. The air is here. Put off for what? Everything we need, it's already been waiting here on. Allah said everything in creation is here to serve His best creation, the human being. We are just letting Satan and other human beings who are under his influence make us think under oppression sometimes, by force, by denying us knowledge, by controlling our diets, our food, our water, our shelters, to where we fail to realize that we already have the victory. So why wait another 10 or 15 years to do what we can do today? What is that old saying? Never put off tomorrow what you can do today. Every day is a holiday when you're a believer. There's no tomorrow because you're living every day tomorrow. You're living it right now. Yeah. So let's get that. Let's have that, and we pray that we really, with all sincerity, you know, ask Allah to bless us and never, ever, ever forget where we are right now. We're free. We just come out of Ramadan. We're free from everything except what we put back on ourselves, like we did when we took our shahada. So we're human beings. We ain't perfect. But let's keep off stuff back out of our discipline and obedience to Allah that interferes with us in deeds and action building this community called out Islam. Thank you very much. Back to you, Akbar.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Allah Akbar. William? I'm going to bring my imam up. We went out today and talked to the people, and they appreciated us. We let them know that the name of one God, and we are all brother and sister, and we will never be truly brother and sister to each other until that image is gone, because this is the wall between us and them. And God don't want us to have no kind of racial wall or any kind of wall. We want to be one people, and that's only going to happen when we worship God correctly. So
So I'm going to bring Brother Ibrahim, Imam Ibrahim, up and let him share in this great conversation. Brother Imam Ibrahim Abdullah, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Yes,
I seek refuge in Allah, and that would make man and woman forget. That's that shaitan, that's Satan. I open the bad windows and testify nothing is deserving of worship except Allah alone. We're talking about the one, the creator that created everything. Everything that exists, everything that you conceive in your mind, God did it, not you. And I only bear witness testified that from Muhammad, to whom the final revelation was sent through, is indeed his last prophet, seal of the prophets. You don't hear nobody talking about prophets no more. And his messenger. So Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, with the name of Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. And we're so grateful to Allah that he had benefited us this morning. When we raised up, that's the benefactor. We were benefited. You know, mercy benefactor, mercy redeemer. And then he redeemed our spirit.
Mullah Akbar, a married male who will be 74 as of July
17, 2022.
Go ahead,
please, ma'am.
Yes, sir. So, you know, everything that Brother Muhammad said, all praises be to Allah, he is right. But let me put this with that. So what our main problem is, when we deal with that image, from image to industry, that's where we got to go. We got to lead the image and come into the world of industry. I remember Imam Muhammad said one time, he said, many of y'all waiting on Jesus to come back. What you waiting on? And it seemed like, for some apparent reason, and I'm talking about the Islamic community, this thing hunted us so bad that it's even affecting us. And where is it affecting us that everything Muhammad said that we need and think we should be doing, why we not doing it? I tell you why. Because we can't make decisions. That is the downfall of any community. A human being where you cannot make decisions. These big corporations, if you study them, pull them up, and they tell you, like General Motors, all of them, they tell you how they came in to having the corporation that they had. We started with a dollar, or we didn't have a 3 or 4 cents, but we took an idea. And along the line, if we got the rolling and making things happen that set us back. But what set us back, we didn't let that stop us. Otherwise, we made decisions, and some decisions we made, they were faulty. They weren't no good. But we went back to the table and studied that idea that caused us to lose a little something, and then came back to the table, strategized, put it together, and made it happen. So that's our problem. We cannot make decisions. And our children's lives, our wives, our daughters, our sons, our cousins, uncles, aunties, everybody, life is dependent on us make decisions. So we have to make the right decisions for the whole community, not just for yourself. And let me give you a little small example. What's the first thing that you do to make a decision when you get out of bed? What's the first thing you do? Go make wudu. That's a decision that you made that was correct. You went and made wudu. You washed up. I'm on the way to wudu. All I intend to make wudu. You make the wudu. You come back to drive or whatever. You sit down for a minute. And then you sit there and think. Then they're down the call. They come and call. Then what you say? I'm on the way to fajr. Or I'm on the way to sunnah. Or Allah. I intend to make sunnah. That's another decision that you made. Just that easy. Now, what's the next step? That you step forward on your prayer mat, facing the east, northeast, and call on Allah. Allahu Akbar. Why are you saying Allahu Akbar? That's in your nature. That's a decision you had to make to let Allah know that he was the greater than anything. You could be great, but you're not the greatest. Allah is the greater. You can be great on a lot of things, but that's a decision you made to let you know that you're on board. So we got to learn to make decisions. And don't take no 5, 6 days, 24, 30, make a decision. If we fail, say, okay, look, we have 4 things on the table. We decided, not I, we decided to agree on, to move on this decision right here that we came up with. Okay. We moving on it. But it failed. But now you got 3 more because you had 4. You said, you know what? I'm glad we caught this. We see that it's not going to really work for us. So let's go back in our stash where we made decisions on 3 more, and let's pull another one of those decisions we made forward. And Allahu Akbar, it worked. That's what we have to do. All the things my brothers got through saying that we need the things we need to do, we can't do them because we can't make decisions. And you show me a believer in Allah. What's that believer's weapon? What's the greatest weapon that a believer has? Faith. Faith. Now, what happened? You say you got faith, but that's what your mouth says. What Allah says in the scripture, you're saying things out of your mouth that's not in your heart. Why? Because you don't have the faith. If you make a dua to Allah that you need something, that means you have made a decision to call on your Lord to help you with something that you need. You didn't step it out on your own. And like Prophet Muhammad says, Allah answers all of the believers' duas, their prayers, all of them. And Prophet Muhammad says, only one thing, Yaqi, you have to be patient. It's coming, but be patient. I was down on the day, I had an insurance lady come by, and I was going to do an insurance policy. She got to ask me questions. I think I went out about 11:30. When I looked up, me and her got through talking, it was 2 o'clock. My mother said, you sure was out there a long time? I said, she asked me a question about Ella's mom. And that was it. And I felt good, like, because I'm dying. And I gave her so much faith. She write down every verse in the Bible. I was quoting everything. She said, you know what? She said, woo. She said, and you mean tell me you ain't been to school? I said, yeah, school of hard knocks. But what happened, I'm showing you, when you make a decision to do things in Allah's name, that Allah would be there with you. So we got to get that ghost mentality out of our spirit. If we don't, we're not going away. And that's what's keeping you from making a decision. Because we still got that hangover from that ghost mentality. And what Imam Muhammad said, what is happening with the community, and we can see it real good now. He said it back then, but now we really see it. What did he say? He said, but the problem with the community today is that we have given so much allegiance to materialism. We weren't about money and paying all. He said, instead of giving your mind over to Allah. And that's the problem. That's why you can't make decisions, because you're giving yourself over to dunya so much that you're forgetting Allah. You're forgetting the one who created everything that you were. Until we become men and women and stand on la ilaha illallah and exemplify Muhammad Rasulullah and make decisions, we're not going nowhere. We're going to continue to talk, the good talk. But I'm ready to fight the good fight. Talking is good. What about the fight? It's good to us, like the young brother was saying tonight, when he gave a coup by 15, he gave 2. He said he thought he can do it, but when he got out there in the middle of the ocean, he didn't feel nothing up under his feet. Because why? You got to study. You got to train yourself. You got to be diligent. You got to be faithful to your Lord. Have patience, and then make decisions. And that's how you grow to be that believer that Allah says in Quran that he wants you to be. You cannot be a believer unless Allah called you and aid you to be a believer. You didn't come into Islam by yourself. Oh, I don't know what brought me. Yes, you do. Allah brought you. It's his religion. It ain't yours. He opened the door for you to come in. And then he put it in you, make the decision to come in wholeheartedly. We came in wholeheartedly. And just look at the picture for our end. During the Nation of Islam that we was in, we are a product of Sister Claire Muhammad School when it was a University of Islam. We're the product of Nation of Islam. And with the spirit that Allah blessed us with then, look what we built. I don't see no other organization today built what we built when we was the Nation of Islam. But why did, how did we build it? We built it because we made decisions. And we kept moving. Your wife gets sick. What you going to do? You going to sit on the side of the bed with her weeping and crying instead of going to Allah and ask Allah what to do? Make a decision. Well, baby, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. We're going to do the mercy right now. You have to make that decision. Life depends on the decisions that we make. Now, like I said, from that ghost mentality or influence to industry, are we going to continue to let that ghost mentality rule and make decisions for us? Or are we going to stand up and make decisions and prove to the world that we are worthy to have what our Lord wants for us? That's what we got to do. All these things that I think to, but you can't make the decision, that's why you can't get it. And your decision had to be based on Allah. You say that you're Muslim, so that means that I am one who submit my will entirely to Allah's will. So if you tying yourself to Allah, how come you can't make decisions? And trust in Allah all the way. Dear beloved brothers and sisters, I don't want to take too much time. We got a little time to let somebody else come on. But all praise be to Allah. When you ask Allah what to say, every time I come on, I sit aside and ask Allah what to say. Before I can get on, Allah put it in my head. Say this. Bring this to the forefront of the minds of the people and yours too. Allah is telling us in the Quran, all the way through the Quran, what Allah say? When we look at the example of Muhammad, they made decisions. Battle of the trench. Huh? All the battles that they had, they made decisions how they were going to fight that battle before they got on the battlefield. And that's what made them successful. Plus, they had Allah and his angels with them. You cannot have Allah and the angels with you if you don't believe in Allah. I'm talking about wholeheartedly. Not halfway, three-thirds. Let the ghost mentality still slip in and control you and move you the way it wants you to move you. Treat your wife in any kind of way. Keep the children in any kind of way because that ghost mentality is still hanging on you, and yet you say you're a believer. Okay, good. A believer in what? There's a pattern of conduct that we must display as believers, not Muslims. Everything submits to will to God as a Muslim. I'm talking about believers. We have to show a pattern of conduct as believers like Prophet Muhammad and the Sister Sahaba done. May the peace and blessing of Allah be upon him. And all the prophets, what do we say in my clothes? Well, I make Muhammad successful. And the followers of Muhammad successful. As you did make Ibrahim successful and the followers of Ibrahim successful in the world, show that you are praiseworthy and magnified. Allah bless Muhammad and the followers of Muhammad. As you did bless Ibrahim and the followers of Ibrahim in the world, surely you are praiseworthy and magnified. This is what we say in our prayers to Allah. We follow Muhammad. Allah bless Muhammad be successful. Then bless us to be successful as you bless Ibrahim be successful. Allah, you know, we're asking all the same thing that their prayers say. If you say you follow Muhammad, then why aren't you successful?
Wait a minute.
So I come to you in peace. I want to leave you in peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Well, Lake Isolam, excellent, excellent, excellent. All praise is due to Allah. We're grateful for Allah to allow us to come on with this lifeline, on this Brown Talk radio station, trying to cure the cancer of lies, wrong thinking. We got deals that have caused all the trauma and problems on this earth towards us and people of color, and have used our Caucasian brothers and sisters to be the demons to carry out such
hinders act. So we're here tonight on this Block Talk radio station to clear up those problems, but bring the truth to the falsehood, and it will knock out his brain. We're living in a time where you can be in one place and one idiot will run in that place and shoot you and shoot everybody in there until he killed everybody. They said the police, when they got there in Texas, they didn't go right into the police, right into the building. That man, when police were there, that man was in there killing up them children, and the police was on the outside, and they was told not to go in. I don't believe I could have did that. And a lot of children lost their life because of dumb police shit. So it don't take but one fool to get a whole lot of people killed. So, brother, we are dependent on Allah to protect us. And our prayers and our sacrifice is all for Allah, and Allah will protect us. And we do the best we can with this precious life. Sister Karan, you want to say something else? Sister Karan.
Oh, alhamdulillah. I'm fine, thank you.
You're fine, alhamdulillah. Okay, alhamdulillah. Brother Muhammad from Columbus, you want to say something?
8:51, you can close out.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Columbus. Brother Muhammad. Well, Brother Ibrahim, Imam, would you close out in prayer and then we can open up these last few minutes until they close us out. Can you do that? Brother Ibrahim, will you close us out with a prayer? With a du'a?
Yeah.
Imam Ibrahim.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
That's I'm here. I'm going to close out now.
A'udhu
billahi min shaitan ar-rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وأصري إن الإنسان لفي كسر إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر آمين يا رب العالمين
آمين We got to kicking Satan behind. And he's hurting, he's gone trying to recuperate. But we're going to fight him till there's no more oppression. That means we're going to fight him till there's no more existence among us. We don't need no one to take us down. We don't need that no more. These corrupt businessmen that ran the gas up. Price is so high now, and back in California, $8. So that shows, without a shadow of a doubt, that these people have no love for America. They have no love for America and for the American people. That's why the law is no good. The law is good, but the law is not minish and give them equally and right. And that's why the citizens of America is suffering. And you can tell people all them lies that you want to, that they over there fighting and for our freedom all over the world. And I'm telling you right now, that'll be a lie. We got to fight to vote. We got to fight to stay alive, to pay our bills. We still in the struggle. That's a plenty for everybody, but when it comes to us, they say it's not. So we're gonna have to stand up. We're gonna have to kill. And this comes from racism itself. It comes from the false idea that God is a man, a Caucasian man,
we should be praying is God's only and God's peace. You're going to get rid of that lie. So, anybody else got anything they want to say or make a comment?
Well, I'd just like to say right quick.
Yes, sir.
I'd just like to say right.
Mm-hmm.
I'd just like to say right quick. You know, we thank Allah that all this is going on around us. Allah is keeping his word to us because, like I said, when we realize that the reason why we are suffering is because we're still being hypnotized and still sticking our head out there to be chopped off. But like I said, even if we included our brothers and sisters of African descent, there's 48 million of us in America. And Allah has been increasing our wealth, increasing our love for each other, increasing our everything, but we ignore it because we're too busy wanting what Shaitan got, you know. And when we realize that, we can stop anywhere. The victory is already known, like we said earlier. We can stop anywhere. But we can't stop. We want to chase these people, kiss the rump, or marry their daughters and their sons. Something wrong with us. Well, all we had to do is just stop and turn around to the right Qibla. And when we turn to the Qibla, remember, ain't nobody in front of you when you turn to the Qibla but believers. Ain't none of them crazy people all amongst those who are facing the Qibla. Just know that everybody is striving, feasibility, allowed to try to get right and stay right. But when you turn around and look back at the world, at the dunya, it'll make you think that it's controlling your sustenance, your food, your shelter, your clothing, your transportation. All we got to remember is that Allah is God and Muhammad is his messenger. And believe me, Allah has been increasing us. He's not going to change his word up. He said he's always near. And he said, if one of y'all pray to me right, I'm going to bless the rest of y'all, and you get your fair share of that blessing. The one who pray, he gets the most, et cetera, right on down the line. So again, while we do point that out, remember, we have consensus using that English term. We don't have votes. We have consensus. Our affairs is done in what we call sure, not at the voting booth. We can do that because we had that right. And we should do it because we had that right. But remember, it really doesn't affect us. It's our way of showing people who are really under that $8 R gasoline. They really under eating that poison food and got to put up with all this shooting and crazy. Our vote is just to help them. And if we remember that, our vote is only to help them. But when it gets to the point where we're dipping into their affairs and not tending to ours, that just goes to show you that's wrong. We're neglecting our life as Muslims in America, you know, and we're voting and everything like that. But we ain't got to take that stuff like the slave mentality people of this country, and that could be any color. See, slavery right now is going on in America does not have any color barrier like Imam Muhammad said. It's past racism. These people are crazy. Except for those, like Allah says in Surah Asr, those who remember him, prayer, charity, and out here doing what we're doing on this message of concern, telling the truth. We do not let this dunya give you the impression that it really affects us, because I can't support that. Can't nothing take the place of Allah and his message. Ain't nothing affected us, just like the brother Amin was saying. His life is not affected. It's just that he owes the obligation to do whatever he can to stimulate and do dawah on this society's ills and things that it's doing to itself. But don't let yourself get caught up in it. It doesn't affect us for real. And we must sit out at nighttime when we make our Isha prayer and we make them du'as and witr prayer to remind ourselves we control a great financial resources in this place. We own land in this country, you know, but we can't do our accountability, get our books straight and everything like that because we're too busy thinking that what goes on in the books of Christianity, the books of whatever going on in America, affects us. It don't affect us. Long, what's that old saying we learned long time ago? As long as they don't put a hand on us, ain't nothing holding us back. Long as they don't put their hands on us, the believer, there's nothing holding us back, and Allah is feeding us. Allah is feeding us every day, not these people. Allah is giving us transportation every day, not these people. Because Allah is making them do what they have to do where we get our share of the dunya. They can't stop our share of the dunya. We vote. We work every day. We pay taxes. You know, we defend the country. We might not see that because Allah said you're too busy worrying about what they're doing that you can't see that I'm taking care of you. I'm the one reason why you're alive here in America. I'm the reason why you ain't no slave. You already know these people want to make a damn slave out of you again, but they can't do it. Not to the believer. When we have that type of taqwa and get that type of dhikr in our work that we're doing in this dawah, we can't go tell people, everybody, that there's no God but Allah if we don't believe in our own self. We got to show them that we don't need them for nothing. They're like Allah tell us. Allah said, I don't need you for nothing. You tell them people the same way. I don't need what y'all doing for nothing. I'm not allowed to have your money. I ain't going to be taking your haram money. I ain't got no business eating your haram food. So when we do what we're supposed to do, there's a reason why even in our infant, vulnerable, ignorant state, when Allah sent us the honorable Elijah Muhammad, the first thing he asked for was separate land. There's a reason for it. He gave us something physical to shock us into realizing that we don't need America. What we need is Allah. What we need is Prophet Muhammad, say something. What we need is our own money, our own stores, our own land. And we already got it. He said, but what you will not know it unless you come together. You will see that you are a nation already inside of a nation. But see, we let Shaitan come and make us forget about all those basic infantile lessons that Allah said us. That's all we could understand because we was like naked slave babies in the animal shed. You know, and we're trying to make us live like animals. But Allah guided us. Look at that. Now, like Muhammad said, you're already a nation. Get up and accomplish what you will. Imam come along and tell us what kind of nation we are. You are the Islamic nation, the community of Prophet Muhammad. But we still don't, we let Shaitan make us don't see it. Because we're too busy thinking that what happens to them, they kill each other, they rob each other. You know, yeah, it happens to some of our people who haven't said La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And yeah, it even happens to some of our Muslims who think they are straddling the fence or trying to play both ends across the middle. Yeah, it happens to them. You know, some of them got it so bad that they go get guns and kill other Muslims for the same irrational knowledge. But remember, the believers, those who are doing this dawah right now, this dawah is saving our life more than it is anybody else. This message is concerned. But we got to listen to it too. We got to do it like the brother said, be satisfied with being a Muslim, be satisfied with Al-Islam. Don't worry about no other. Ain't nobody can invite me to no other way of life other than this here. We supposed to be inviting them, are we? Not correcting them, but inviting them to Al-Islam, where they don't have no image of God had a son, where they don't have no skin color racism, you know. That is not amongst the believers anyway. But we also let them know that we got hypocrites like you got hypocrites. But they also don't have no effect on us because Allah is our, but not them. And then like one good thing that Brother Amin said today, was when he said, we have to spend time on ourselves. Now, he was talking to us on all levels. It's whatever kind of Muslim we think we are, black Muslim, African Muslim, Chinese Muslim, whatever. But what he said, we need to spend time with the Muslims. Get our own house together. We need to be spending more time in talking to Muslims. We need to spend time on doing dawah on Muslims and ask them, why come in the hell you ain't practicing Islam the way that you've been taught in the Quran? Why come you ain't living it? Why are you against the truth more so than the Christian? Why are you more against the truth? Because of your money. You want to be a king. You want to be this. You want to be that. You want to be everything except one who loves for his brother what he loves for himself. You know, so again, this is the month, this is the year. I know there's others who feel it because that's me why I feel it. We can end the rule of Shaitan this year. And we so mad, we got time before it even starts. This fighting oppression, this fighting the falsehood with the truth is getting ready to jump off it pretty soon. Because the year of al-Islam is getting ready to start all over again. Every year on this planet has had its opportunity. Now it's a year of al-Islam again. It's a year of the believers in al-Islam. And that's everybody, just like the brother said. When they're in their right mind, everybody's a Muslim. But how do we do? We got to help free their mind from the influence of the shaitan. We got to take these shackles off of those who want them shackles off of them. And the ones who don't want to be free some kind of way, inshallah, they'll seek refuge when they want it. And we just, all you got to do is make sure we got it available. Homeless shelters, educational centers, hospitals,